Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Rondo alla Turca there by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, a piece from 1783, often regarded as one of his best known works and composed when he was just 27 years of age. And while some historical figures have lived, died and made their indelible mark in history at such a young age, nowadays, many of us are well into our 30s before we've moved out of home and figured out what we're doing with our lives. We'll lecture in the School of Politics and International Relations at UCD. Graham Finlay is here to talk us through some of the people that blazed a trail at a very young age and left a legacy that shaped the world as we know it today. Graham, you're very welcome. And we've come through a weekend where the Taoiseach Micheál Martin said the death of Michael Collins deprived Ireland of its best hope of reconciliation. And this got us thinking, you know, there are some people who've lived really very short lives, but they achieve more than some of us could hope to in a lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, Mozart is the obvious case, you know, and it's funny, you know, he's somebody who also has used, you know, people play Mozart to their babies in the womb to try and make them better at math. And I think there are a lot of interesting debates about Mozart, whether he had an innate talent or whether the fact that his father was a composer and music teacher had something to do with it, you know. And he'd shown a real interest in music from a young age, but his father soon was touring him and his sister Marianne around Europe as prodigies. And so Mozart was practicing, you know, three times as much as any other musician normally would.
Well, there's a clue there which gets us to the nub of this, that he had a really early start in his discipline. And it's whether now we all have a very late start.
Well, that's it. So, I mean, again, people are playing Mozart to people in the womb, but we've extended our childhoods and we've extended our education so much, often for very, very good reasons. But, you know, again, with scientists and with musicians and mathematicians, it's something which you can learn by practice and at an early age. Whereas Aristotle said that people shouldn't be allowed to study philosophy or political science until they're basically middle-aged by Aristotle's standards, because young people are too passionate. And he distinguishes that kind of wisdom from the kind of knowledge you can learn by application. So I disagree with Aristotle, but, you know, it's a really striking fact that it's in these kinds of fields, math, you know, and sort of adjacent things like poetry and maybe even art, although they seem slightly different, that people really become prodigies and achieve so much by quite an early age.
Well, let's talk about some of the other examples we have in history. Henry Moseley, probably not a household name, but he's an example of someone who was recognised as being a real loss to science. He died in 1915 in Gallipoli. Tell us about him, what he achieved.
Yeah, so he was another good example of someone whose father was a professor, whose mother was very learned. But he created his own machine to try and do experiments on the elements. And he determined that it was electrons which were what distinguished the various elements. And so he predicted, and at a very young age, he predicted that certain elements certain chemical elements would appear. And indeed, it proved to be the case. But drawn by the kind of passions which Aristotle said young people were too prone to, he resisted all of the people trying to keep him from signing up for World War I, which was this tremendous patriotic effort, and against all advice went and was very soon killed at Gallipoli.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he was a loss, and that was at a very young age. But again, his achievements before his death absolutely extraordinary. Now, there are more men than women on the list.
Yeah,
good reason for that?
Well, absolutely. So Marianne, Mozart's older sister, was actually getting top billing on their tour as child prodigies. But by the time she had no place to go. By the time she was of marriageable age, she just was prevented by her father and basically society from continuing on. And so while we know that she composed and she continued to engage with music, women just weren't allowed to play certain roles. They couldn't become court composers and things like that. And so if you wanted to excel in science and music, and as a woman, you had to be very rich and also have very tolerant or open parents. I mean, Queen Christina of Sweden was running Sweden at 18 and was incredibly learned, but that's because she was the queen, mm-hmm. right? Ada Lovelace.
The exception to the rule.
The exception to the rule. Ada Lovelace was the daughter of Lord Byron and Lady Byron, and her mother was a mathematician. And because they thought that she might inherit her father's madness, as they termed it, you know, they encouraged her to study mathematics, and they put her in touch with the brilliant female polymath Mary Somerville, who put her in touch with Charles Babbage. And she was the one who, and people disagree a bit about this, but came up with the first computer program, which was because she realized that Charles Babbage's difference engine, which was a sort of manipulation of mathematical symbols, could be used to do computations if you set out a strict set of rules, which would be followed by a machine in a machine-like fashion.
What about the theory around all this? I mean, where do you stand when people say, we're not going to find these people now because they're in third level education?
Yeah, well, I mean, I teach lots of people of all kinds of ages, and I want anybody of any age to think about coming to UCD or third level generally. And it's interesting that Aristotle says it's not just people who are actually young in years, but also people who are youthful in spirit who shouldn't be taught philosophy. And I think the opposite. I learn so much from my students because of their passions, and that includes my mature students. I'm really against the general running down of university students or the younger people as all being sort of feckless or, you know, something wrong with them. And this is something people have been saying for millennia. But rather, I think in all my experience of my students, their passions are something I need to think about and learn. I need to listen to them. And then the other thing is universities are increasingly, and maybe never were, you know, not separate from the real world. We have lots of opportunities to do internships and exchanges and things like that.
People might think that in university you are learning and not doing, but that's often not the case now. You're doing and learning.
Yeah, and again, just about think about any job you can think of. It all involves thinking, right? And not just sort of manual rote work. You know, as someone was pointing out, you know, a car mechanic needs to know about computers, all right? And of course, anybody who's had anything go wrong with a car realizes that an awful lot of insight and critical thinking is required to fix it. Insight I don't have. So again, university education is being prolonged for a reason. Back not so long ago, people would leave school at 15 into the world of work. And that was the vast bulk of people, certainly men, right? It's good that people are staying in school to the leaving cert. It's good that people are going on to third level education. We just need to recognize that you know, we need a mix of skills, and that it's not for everybody. Some people will find their own way to where they need to be. And it could involve formal education. It could involve apprenticeships.
It is a good thing that we don't have 20-year-old Alexander the Great leading an army. Maybe that's a good thing.
Well, that's the thing. Other passions can do an awful lot of good. They can do a lot of harm, right? So we have often these cases of charismatic leaders like Alexander the Great, who's Aristotle's student, but it didn't really take. Maybe that's what convinced Aristotle the young people shouldn't be taught philosophy. You know, he conquered all the known and unknown world and was trying to conquer whatever bits were left when he died quite young of a disease in Babylon. But he was an extremely passionate man, but he never lost a battle, and he succeeded because his troops believed in him. You know, they weren't fighting because someone was forcing them to. His charismatic leadership really carried the day. And you see that with a lot of these young military leaders. Again, Michael Collins is a really good example. Che Guevara, Joan of Arc, all these people were able to inspire people to overcome often terrible odds, you know, through their charismatic person, which kept their troops going. And they often proved to be quite able political leaders in the case of Collins and Guevara as well.
It's a fascinating conversation, Graham, and thank you very much for coming in today. That's Graham Finlay from UCD. We, though, have to go to the newsroom now and to Karen Carthy.